This morning is a great but also a difficult morning for us here at CWC Life. We are blessed. When you've been planted as long as I have in a church, as long as Cal has, we get the honor of seeing people become who they're called to become. And I'm so honored. I said in the first service that if God was to call my number today and call me home, I can stand before you and say, I haven't done everything right. But one thing I have done right is poured myself into people and raised up people around me who are now raising up people around them. And for that, I can be at peace and say, I'm ready, whatever God has for me. But I find it an honor and a blessing to pour into people's lives and to have raised up so many over the years. And to the people that I raised up today, I said it on social media this morning, that we are sending out today and blessing out of this church today, but not out of our lives, two of the most powerful pastors I've had the opportunity of raising up. This couple, Pastor Gary and Teresa Freitas, they are two of the most incredible people you will ever meet. They're called to the hurting, to change the world one person at a time. Their call is, they've gone through internship with me here, and they became ministers and pastors. They've overseen various ministries, but they both had settled in a number of years ago into recovery ministry. And, you know, they taught me about recovery. We had recovery all the way back since our days on Yosemite Avenue. But it wasn't really until they took over that I began to really understand what it meant to have a recovery program, to offer recovery to those whose lives are depending on it, to those whose lives are counting on having the doors open. Pastor Gary and Teresa have taught me that, and they today will be their last service with us here. They'll be starting a new journey in their lives all the way in Pennsylvania with their daughter Laura, her husband Ty, and their grandchildren, and the rest of the children in the Midwest are in the Midwest as well. So it's a tough one for us, but what a blessing for them. Pastor Gary, for the last 40 years, I mean, a drug addict from the streets of Hayward, to be brought into this company, for them to give him a chance. Now, 40 years later, being the superintendent of that company, to be retiring. How amazing is that? That's just incredible. And so this morning, they're going to be sharing their heart and their lives with us. At the end, you'll get an opportunity to come up and give them a squeeze. We sent them off this morning, the morning service, with some coffee money because we know Teresa loves her coffee. They're taking down, they're going down like a 3-week journey from now to for about 3 weeks. They're going to be going to the States, visiting folks along the way. So help me welcome this morning, Pastor Gary and Teresa. And yes, Pastor Gary is the ultimate Giants fan. Yeah, you look good, my brother.
We sport the color well. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. So before we get started, I just want to acknowledge my buddy Joe out there. Joe, anytime you want to cross over and borrow my jacket, you're more than welcome, right? I wore this today because Joe came to me Friday night at our cornhole tournament. And by the way, if you haven't played and you want to play, we've started a league. See Bishop, see Pastor Mark. They'll get you dialed in. But Joe came up to me and said, so who's in first place? I said, do I need to say any more? Not only in first place, but we're the best in all of baseball right now. Not just the National League, Joe. All of baseball right now. Amen? You know, I love you, my brother. And he's a diehard Dodger fan, but we're not bringing Dodgers to life. Chris, you got the right shirt on, my brother. Come on. Anyway, we just had to have a little fun here, right? We said in the first service that if people didn't see any joy, right, any fun, any laughter, what would make them come back? Right? This isn't a somber house. This is a sober house full of the blood, like Bishop just said, that covers us, that brings joy to life, right? We were once lost and bound in chains and shackles in some form. You don't have to be a drug addict to be bound by chains and shackles. You're bound in your own home. And you come here and you get set free. So we absolutely insist on enjoying life. Insist on having fun. That's a quote from the book Alcoholics Anonymous, which is in alignment with God's word. Amen. And if you're not sure of that, see me afterwards and I'll prove it to you. So before we get started and I take this jacket off, I want to thank Bishop and Mama Kelly for allowing us and trusting us up here. It's an honor. I'm going to get emotional. We're going to be all over the place. It's an honor to be here. You don't know how much this means to us. The rest of the staff, PK and, you know, everybody. I don't want to leave anybody out, so I just cover everybody. You have all blessed us since we've been here at CWC. So we appreciate this opportunity to just share our heart this morning. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she's going to open in prayer, and then we're going to read one verse.
So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to share your heart and ours. Lord, we love this church. We absolutely love this church. We praise you, God, and we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, Bishop and Senorita. We love you guys. We are so honored to be standing here and sharing what God has put on our heart. I said in first service that this is very bittersweet for us. I'm going to try really hard not to cry. He cries more than I do. I don't get it. But you know, we've been at this church for 20 years and been through a lot. And so to leave, and to leave on good terms, and to leave knowing that, you know, we're doing what God wants us to do, is that's special. It's an honor to be leaving and going. We literally bought a house around the corner from our daughter and her husband and kids. So we're very, very excited about that. And not too far away from our boys, so that's awesome. So the title of our teaching today is called The Handoff, and I'm going to be reading Daniel 4, verse 3. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation.
Amen. And we're changing it up a little bit from this morning just because the Lord has put on our heart to convey a message that we just read in Daniel, that ministry goes from generation to generation. It doesn't just stop when one person leaves. It must continue. Excuse me. For you guys that don't know, we met in a recovery meeting. We met in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in 1980. And she's been chasing me ever since. She locked eyes on me across the room and came over and pursued me. I'm like, hey, back up, give someone else a chance, right? No, that's not the way it happened. But we did meet in an AA meeting. And we've been joined together ever since. We've been married 39 years, going on 40, and all things are possible. You know, so what we teach and what we know, our recovery principles crossed over into the Word of God. That's what we know. And that's what we teach, and that's our passion. I'm looking out and I see our friend Mike. Mike C., 34 years, and we've known him for a long, long time. And that's what we do. We incorporate the principles of recovery and we bridge the gap to bring people in and to show them that their lives can change and become good and they can become productive members of society. And what that takes is people like the staff at CWC, to see that and trust people like us to bring those people in, and then to raise other people up to continue what they started here. Ministry shouldn't stop when one person leaves. Ministry is to be ongoing, as we read in Daniel, from generation to generation. It's everlasting. My recovery is intact because someone walked before me. Someone set the pace for me. And when I came through the doors, they extended the grace that God had given them and walked alongside of me, walked alongside of my wife. That's what we do here. We are all people of all races, all backgrounds, all and generations serving one God. And then we know God and we make him known. That's what we do here. That's what we learned in recovery. So it was nothing new for us to walk into a church that believed in these principles. These are godly principles. So what better way for us, as my wife said, that when we walked in and heard the worship, that we knew we were home. And we know when we get to the East Coast, we're not going to find another CWC Life Manteca. We're not going to find that. But we're going to bring the flavor of CWC Life Manteca with us out there. Now, the only way I can bring the worship is if I pack up Stevie and Michelle. And I don't think Howard's going to let that happen. So maybe he will. I don't know. There's certain things that we can't replace. There's certain things that Bishop can't replace. But there's new things on the horizon. And that's what we're here to talk about today, is the new things that are on the horizon. People answering the call. And like I said, we're switching it up. My wife's going crazy because she's like, I'm not used to being up here. But she's got so much in her that she just has to release it. And I'm going to give her an opportunity to just share from her heart right now as I pull up a scripture that I think is pertinent to what we want to say today.
So we sat down right before worship started, and Gary looked at me and said, I'm switching it up. Well, you can't do that. I already had four meltdowns because I was trying to get this straight in my head. And so, you know, I said we absolutely love this church, and we have been through, in 20 years, you know, you go through a lot, whether it's, you know, physically, mentally, financially, whatever it is, you know. And in the 20 years we've been here, Gary had two heart attacks. Each of our kids went through something physically. I did. And every single time, this church had our back. Every single time. You know, when Gary had his first heart attack, we weren't here very long. And our son, Michael, was only, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, maybe. And Kelly just took him under her wing and just, I got you, and don't worry about it. And you know what? Even to this day, I took our grandkids over to Kids Club, and Rhea's over there greeting them, giving them a hug, saying, I got them. Don't worry. They're fine. And this is how our church is. There's no judgment. We help each other out. We may not always like it. You know, I haven't always liked what's gone on here. But you fight through it. You know, you fight through it. You fight through, like that song. You fight through praise. You know, fight with praise. Fight through whatever you're going through. And people come alongside of you. And we chose not to leave. The few things that we went through that we thought, I'm just going to go. I'm embarrassed or whatever, I'm just going to go. No, God called us here. And now that we are leaving, it's leaving because we are choosing to better ourselves, you know, to better our family, to be around our kids, and to be there when all of our grandchildren have plays or games or whatever it is, to be there for our kids. You know, after the first service, there was one woman that came up to me, and she goes to Spanish service. Her name is Rosa, and our oldest son and her son went to school together, so we've always had this connection when I see her here. And she was literally bawling, and it made me so sad because I thought, we have so much family here, you know. But thank God we have so much family here. That's a good thing that we get to take with us.
So our message is really our heart, our passion is to see this church. As PK got up here and said, during the shutdown, we watched Bishop and Kelly and PK and Pastor Eric come to an empty sanctuary. Come to an empty sanctuary and keep this place alive for us, for you. They never gave up. They kept fighting through, believing that the atmosphere was going to shift and we would all be back together one day. That was their hope and their belief. And look at us today. That's coming to fruition because they didn't give up. They didn't give up, and they will never give up on you. And they will never give up on this church. And that's important for you guys because I'm challenging you as leaders and pastors. You've been a minister here for a while or a short period of time. Those that just graduated internship that are going to get ordained in August. I'm challenging you today to step up to the plate. To step up to the plate and be who God's called you to be. Just because you graduated and you entered into ministry doesn't mean you've answered the call. Step up to who God's called you to be. Not to what the paperwork tells you you are. Anybody can get a piece of paper. But can you be who God called you to be? Can you stand in there and know that without a shadow of a doubt you're fulfilling the call on your life? And then you younger generation, you guys 40 and under that are out in the workplace, maybe going to college, you have a call as well. You're sitting here today, your ears are hearing something, and there's a call in your life to be a minister at the workplace, to be a minister at an AA meeting, to be a minister at your college course, wherever it is, you're called to carry a message. Find out what message God wants you to carry. We know our message. We know our calling. Without a shadow of a doubt, we know that we're to bridge the gap from recovery to the cross. He's made that clear to us. And we will never give up on people. As I tell Steve all the time, there's no hopeless case. There's no hopeless case. We see God change the lives of people on a daily basis. We've been given an opportunity to open the doors to people here and help them make that connection with God so they can have that freedom from their addiction, whatever it is, whether it's food or gambling, alcohol, drugs. Addiction just isn't to drugs and alcohol. There's many areas of our life. And a lot of times us addicts and alcoholics come in here and we switch one addiction for another just to hide out from our emotions and our feelings. Here you can be real, as my wife just said. You can be real. You can be who you are. You can go to your senior pastor and tell him what you're feeling. He's not going to judge you. He's going to help you get through it, right? My wife just said, we fought through. If God brought you to it, he's going to see you through it. That's a promise. You know, you might think that's a cliche. That's a promise. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want you to focus on for equipping of the saints and for work of the ministry. PK just talked about a Bible college class. You can get equipped. Bishop will take you under his wing. Kelly will take you under her wing. That's wherever you feel like you fit, they will take you under their wing and equip you. They're called to bring this scripture to fruition. And it's not something that Bishop just pulled out of his hat or read for the first time in this word. In this little book right here called In Pursuit of His Glory, I don't remember the year, but it was somewhere back in the early 90s, maybe the late 80s even. I was on a men's retreat, and I seen this book called In Pursuit of His Glory. I liked the title. I bought it. I put it on the bookshelf. How many of us buy books, put it on the bookshelf because we like the title, never really get around to reading it? Well, that's what happened with this book. And when we got here to this church during transition, Pastor Chuck Norman, you guys know him. He was my overseer during this transition. And he pulled me out of ministry, this Music Matters ministry, and sat me down. He said, get your family acclimated. Get them adjusted to this church. So I walk up and introduce myself to Bishop in the parking lot. And our kids were out at a youth event. I was waiting for my son. He was waiting for Corey. And I introduced myself. And he just kind of brushed me off. I thought, who are you? And I told him I was new here, and he's like, whatever. That's the way I took it. That's not what he did. It's the way I took it. And so I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't need you. I got my own stuff going on, right? And so I went back to Chuck, and I said, Pastor Chuck, I'm like, this is what's going on. I don't get it. And I said, but I connect with the other pastors. Pastor Carey, Pastor Josh, Pastor Ed Rivas was here at the time, other people. And I said, we love the worship. And he said, look, that guy's raising up pastors that you connect with. He's got something for you. Don't leave that church. So as he sat me down, I picked up this book and I started reading it. And it's about revival that took place in San Jose, starting in the late 1960s. And he goes on and he talks about getting up into the early 80s. I want you to listen to what he says. This is not new to our senior pastor, to your senior pastor. This guy, Gerald Fry, Pastor Gerald Fry, talks about churches in the Silicon Valley. And he just finished talking about the events at Calvary Community Church and how revival was taking place. And he says, churches in the Silicon Valley began to grow. People were called into the ministry. And he says, I think of a young man named Steve Perea who was arrested by God. During those weeks, soon after his divine encounter, he took a small group of 25 in Central California and saw them grow into a congregation of over 1,000. That was the man that I was judging. That was the man that I thought didn't have time for me. Conviction set in. And I thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous because it took me to a place where it says there's one principle that will hold me in everlasting ignorance. And that principle is contempt prior to investigation. And I realized right then and there that I wasn't giving this man a chance to show me who he really was. And I went to his office. I didn't go to his office. I went to the pulpit in the powerhouse, and I said, I'd like to talk to you. Can I make an appointment? He says, I have time right now. And I walked in and I told him, I wasn't very nice. I didn't know how to communicate very well back then. I said, I don't like you. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean you don't like me? And I told him what I went through, and then I told him the conviction that set in. And I said, I'm sorry. And by the time I looked up, he was weeping. And he says, I don't ever want to paint that picture for anybody. It's not who I am. And I'm telling you today, that's not who he is. If you need a place to go, if you need an ear to get into, he's the guy you want to talk to. He will never shut a door on you. When he stands here and tells you that he has an open door policy, that's the truth. That's the truth. So we're here because our heart is saying, you need to come alongside him. He's getting a little bit older. We're getting a little bit older. Ministry doesn't stop because we get older. It continues with Pastor Corey, Pastor Ryan, Pastor Eric, Brittany, on and on and on. Pastor Michelle Ayala, Pastor Joey. Gosh, I could go on and on and on and on. And those are people that have answered the call at this level. And then it continues, that whole row of kids right there. There's a whole row of kids right there that have been appointed, and now they need to receive their anointing and step out into it and answer the call, because each one of you have a place in ministry. Each one of you can reach people that my wife, that I can't reach, that your mama, your daddy, your grandma, nobody can reach but you. And your church needs you to answer that call.
Yes. Yes.
And we need the pastors and the ministers here to rise up and start pouring into these younger people and training them up in the ways of the Lord and equipping them just as we read in this world, in this word. We're called to equip. Alcoholics Anonymous equipped me with a stable foundation so I could cross over into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're born and raised in this church, it's our responsibility to equip you. You need to take it over because I'm going to cry.
Okay, so in the last 20 years, we have, you know, worked in a couple of ministries, volunteered, loved each and every one of them. One of the first ones we were in was Mini Masters. And look at all these babies that were this big, and now they're in their 20s and still coming to church, still love the Lord, still doing God's work. We had the opportunity and the just so grateful. Last night we had dinner with the Alan Boyogans. The night before we had dinner with the Urtiagas. And it's, you know, every single one of their kids, the Ronquillos, the Dunhams, the Robles, the Adachis, Talamonte now, she's a Talamonte. And Jackie, her cousin Jackie, and it's like, oh my gosh, these kids are just, it warms our heart. You know they're being raised right when you walk in that back door and they're over here and they run to give you a hug and say, hi, Auntie. That's when you know these kids are being raised and loving the Lord. And I don't want to make that sound like nobody else is raising their kids right, because everybody does it different, you know? But we all come to a place in ministry. Like, I've been on altar team for a long time. We all come to a place and time where it's time to pass it on. And whether, you know, like with us retiring and moving away, which we really thought we would never do. We thought we would retire here, and then when the pandemic hit, you know, we realized that our family needs us. Our daughter needs us. Our grandkids need us. Our daughter has lived back east for 13, 14 years, something, a long time, a very long time. And it's time, you know, it's time. And we, you know, we sought through prayer. We got counsel from Bishop and Kelly, and we knew that it was the right time. So that we have the keys to picking or finding the right successors, especially in our ministry, is being intentional. You have to initiate a plan to raise up your leaders. You cannot be a leader in your ministry and not be teaching the ones underneath you. It doesn't work. When you get ready to leave, there will not be anybody to take your place. So we have had a group of leaders in New Life Recovery, and to pick one or two of them is not done solely just by us. We have to seek counsel from our overseeing pastor, which is Bishop, and then most importantly, seek counsel from God. And pray, do a lot of praying. Once God made it clear to us, because Pastor Gary went back to Bishop and said, this is who I have in mind. And Bishop said, this is who I have in mind. And it was the same people. So we knew that it was right. Then we approached them. We had to make sure that they wanted to do this, that they weren't just saying yes because, ooh-wee, I get to be a leader in a ministry. You know, I want that, whatever it is. I want, so everybody knows. No, you do it because it comes from the heart. And, you know, the next step now is blessing them by laying hands and commissioning them into ministry. So, yeah, that's mine. He's always taking my stuff.
But, you know, that's the same, you know, at 3 o'clock this morning, I said this in the first service, I woke up and I'm like, where have I read that? And it was the Moses and Joshua transition of leadership. Moses just didn't die and Joshua stepped in. Read the story. Moses knew that he was going to have a successor. Bishop knows that he's got to raise up another generation. That's what we read in the opening scripture, that ministry goes from generation to generation. It just doesn't come from a season of Bishop putting 35, 40 years in, and then we close the doors of CWC Life. That doesn't work that way. We have leaders in married couples. We have leaders in Paragon. We have overseeing pastors and other ministries. Kids ministry, there's a transition going in kids ministry right now that Maria is an intern and she's rising up, being raised up, being equipped to take over kids ministry, answering the call, her passion, answering the call. And that's what we want to challenge you guys with here today. If you're a leader, you're a minister, you're a pastor, you're a chaplain, whatever your title is, don't get so caught up in the title to where you can't humble yourself and raise somebody up. Start to help Bishop equip for the next generation. The next generation that's coming up, I said this in the first, I'm looking at Brianna, she's got holes in her jeans, holes in her t-shirt. I'm looking at some of these kids back here. What are you doing? You paying big money for, come on. I don't get it. I don't get it. When I went through internship, it was a collared shirt and slacks. And then it went to nice jeans and a collared shirt. Never a t-shirt and shorts and tennis shoes. But that's the new generation coming up. And us older guys like Ronnie B. and myself and Bishop and Minister Robert, we have to learn to adjust to that. Because if we don't, they're not going to reach the generation that they need to reach. We've reached our generation. And I think Bishop's done a very good job at reaching that generation, and he's doing an even better job raising up the next generation. And I'm looking forward to see how that unfolds, but it's going to take some help from you and me. And it starts with you answering the call. So if you're out there and you know that maybe you're not called to be a pastor or a leader per se on paper, but you know you have a call in your life to go out there and help the addict or help somebody that it's less unfortunate, or to maybe just be helping here at the church, or maybe being a minister at your workplace, carrying the message that's in you, then you need to do that. Everybody needs to answer the call. And by doing so, you're going to equip Bishop with candidates to make this ministry continue, to let this ministry continue. He's going to have a pool of people to pick from that is going to, when he's ready to retire and oversee this, that he's going to feel secure in what you brought him. He can't do it alone. He never intended to do it alone. Mama Kelly's been by his side, laboring. Pastor Carey's been by his side. And these are people, Pastor Josh, he just left recently. These are people that came in broken, not Sister Kelly, but, you know, and PK doesn't mind me saying this, and P. Josh knows the same thing, that were restored and became productive members just like you and me. So if there's something that you're hearing today and God's tugging on your heart to answer, then answer the call. Be who God's called you to be. Don't try to be me or Bishop or Chris or anybody. Just be who God's called you to be, and he'll open doors that are amazing to you. You'll reach people you'll never thought you could reach. So like I said, my wife said, it's very bittersweet for us. I heard the words that Bishop spoke, but when I seen the love that was in this house, it was the same love that I experienced in Alcoholics Anonymous, unconditional. When I came out of doing some time, my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, but had a welcome home party for me. Who am I? I hadn't had a home in a long time. And there were people there that I didn't even know. But that word was out that there's somebody that wants to change his life, that wants to stop using, wants to stop drinking. And they came and loved me unconditionally. Didn't matter what my past was. They were just concerned about a better future for Gary. This church is concerned about a better future for you. And in the process, you guys are going to be united, working together for one purpose. Equipping of the saints. Equipping of the saints. So I say all that to say, Bishop, Mama Kelly, PK, what you've done for us, I could never repay. My only hope is that my challenge to you will come strong to support our leaders here. Because the flavor of CWC will go with us. Bishop said, I've been in a job all these years. Yeah, I've been blessed. There's not enough time in this service to talk about everything that God has done for us, what he's provided for us, and what we've been able to provide for others. The biggest blessing we receive, and Jimbo and Kerry, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here. You need to be here. See? Steve, I'm glad you're here today. Manuel, I'm glad. I can go around this room. Chris, people that come to better themselves, that's our reward. When I see people, and I'm going to use Steve because we talk. Steve's my buddy. I'm going to use Steve and Yvette. When I seen them for the first time, it was nothing but tears of sadness. What are we going to do with Steve? Is it going to work? Is it really going to change him this time around? Today, Yvette cries tears of joy because of the work of the Lord that's been done in Steve's life. Steve found out that he's not a monster, that he could be a productive member of society, and he's fought through some things. Go talk to Steve and find out what has been brought to him through this church, through this ministry. Not through me and my wife. We were just conduits to carry the message. I connected to Bishop. Bishop connected to me. My wife connected to every. You see how what I'm saying? God saved me, then he saved my wife, and then he saved you. And you're going to save somebody else. So like I said, this is not goodbye for us. If you cut me right now, you cut my wife, we bleed CWC. And I bleed the company that I work for because I'm dedicated and I'm committed and I'm loyal in everything that I do because God provided that. God provided that for me. So today we're going to pass on to somebody else in leadership the ministry that we've been blessed to oversee. It's not our ministry, it's your ministry. It's CWC Life's ministry. We don't own it. We were trusted to oversee it for a lot of years. And as my wife read, it's now time to pass the baton. And we searched and we prayed. And like she said, Bishop's prayer brought him to a certain couple. And my prayer and my wife's prayer brought us to a certain couple. And after we came and met and we agreed, they agreed. And so today, I'm going to walk over here and grab something, but it's an honor. It's an honor and a joy to be able to pass on to a successor the baton that's going to keep the next generation going. Because we go from generation to generation, not from season to season, right? Seasons come and seasons go. Generation to generation is ongoing, everlasting, as we read in that scripture from Daniel. Everlasting. God's love for you is everlasting, unconditional, unchangeable, unstoppable. You can't stop the love that God has for you. When you're at the bottom of your bottom and you think you can't get any lower, God still loves you. CWC Life still loves you. They'll pick you up and help you through the restoration process. And we feel that we've picked, along with God and along with Bishop and his staff, two people that will carry on the legacy of CWC Life, New Life Recovery. And if you don't know what that is, it's a faith-based recovery program that will help anybody. Bottom line, walk with you, talk with you, sit with you anytime, day or night. So it's an honor. You want to say something? It's an honor. I know when I get the look, it's like I better ask, right? It's an honor at this time to invite Daniel and Jessica up. There's that new generation dress I was talking about.
With my ripped jeans and t-shirt, huh?
But I watched you guys from the beginning. And I seen the passion in you. And I seen the passion in you that you have for the women, for the children of this church. And you for your evangelistic outpouring. And your pastoral heart to care for people. And I've watched you fight through some battles. Battles that some were attacks and some were self-imposed. But you fought through. And you showed yourself approved
because you were steadily in your word. Steadily knowing that even through your mistakes, God was going to provide a way if your desires were pure, and they were. So it's not a coincidence that Bishop came up with the same two people that we came up with. And when we approached you and you prayed about it, the answer came back, yes. That's what we're called for this next, to raise up the next generation. And who knows who you're going to pass this baton. This is a relay baton. And relays in ministry don't stop, as we just read. They're everlasting. So on here, I'm getting old, I couldn't find my glass. Is your scripture, Daniel 2:21. And it says, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. You're being raised up to another level. He's given you wisdom. He's given you an anointing. He's given you a passion. And as it said in the Moses-Joshua transition, that Joshua stood before Moses and was commissioned into his successorship over the next generation. You're going to lead people where we couldn't lead them. And those are our expectations, that we see this ministry grow and life saved and life's changed and become productive. Because what we've done here is just a small portion of what you're going to do.
We love you guys. We have watched you grow. We have watched you grow in your walk with God, grow your family. We love you like our own children, and we expect you to take this ministry to the next level, to do way better than we did, to bring more people in. When I come back in a year, I'd love to see your meetings being held in here. Amen. That's what we expect.
Amen. Amen. So if we can, if you can just extend your hand real quick, and we just want to just really say, Father God, that we commission Daniel and Jessica in the name of Jesus Christ to carry this baton and to completely stay in the race with everything that they have, preparing from this day another leader to be raised up, to duplicate themselves, Father God. So when it's time, this baton will be passed on to another generation. We commission them to do your work in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you guys to welcome Daniel and Jessica as now overseers of New Life Recovery, CWC. Amen. And with that, I know, Bishop, I gave you 11 minutes. I took a few back. I apologize, but I'm going to turn it over to Bishop. Amen.
Amen. Congratulations, Daniel and Jessica. By the way, they'll be getting ordained as ministers this August, too. So
amen.
You got some good times coming up. Love you, sweetie. Amen. In just a moment, you'll be able to come up and say your goodbyes to PG and to Teresa. And we put the buckets up here because we want to bless Teresa with some coffee money. They're actually going to be traveling from here to Texas, to Tennessee and Kentucky, making their way to Pennsylvania. So listen, I would love for you to bless them. Some gas money, some food money. Just, they're not asking. They don't even need it. They're not asking for it. But I would love for our house to do that for them. But you guys just go ahead and stand down there, please. I'm going to ask the body to help me pray them out this morning. Right, would you come? PK can come. Kel.
Come stand with them. Pastor Gary, this is an amazing sword. This sword is the sword of the Archangel Michael. It's super heavy. It's got the Star of David on it. It's blue for royalty. This sword is meant for looking, just to look, admire. It's not a sword that is used for fighting. It's a trophy sword. It's something you put on a wall. But it's a beautiful sword. And I thought, you know, I want to give you something, the two of you, I want to give you something from my office, from my heart. But it wasn't that sword, because that sword is supposed to look good. And that doesn't represent your ministry. This is the sword of William Wallace, the freedom fighter, the brave heart. William Wallace went to the Scots and he said, "You're supposed to be free. You're supposed to be free." And because William Wallace stood up and he looked at England and he looked at King Longshanks and he said, "These people are supposed to be free." And he went to them and he went to the Scots and he said, "What will you do without freedom? What will you do without freedom?" And Pastor Gary, Teresa, all the names that you mentioned here are now free from drugs and alcohol and abusive situations. They're free because of your ministry. And so this is my William Wallace sword. It's my favorite. And I'm giving this to you to take back with you to the East Coast and to serve you as a reminder that you're there to set people free. Would you stand, everybody? Stretch out your hands towards them. Hallelujah. Father, in your precious name, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the honor and glory, all the praise that belongs to you. Thank you for giving us this powerful couple. Thank you for giving Kel and I and PK and Core and Ryan, all the rest of us, the blessing and the joy of co-laboring with them. For when we plow the field, I can look to my left or to my right and see Pastor Gary and Teresa plowing as well. Thank you for this time. And we look forward to many more years together. Though the field may change and the field might be a few miles away, I have no doubt believing that they'll be plowing. So I pray blessings upon them. I pray blessings upon them as they leave this place. And we bless them out of CWC Life, Manteca, but not out of CWC Life. And Father God, we bless them with honor, the same honor they've bestowed upon this church. May they go with my blessing. May they go with my honor. And may they go with the DNA of this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, church. Thank you so much for being with us today and for being part of this amazing historic service. And you're welcome to come up and drop a blessing in the buckets or give them a hug. And don't forget, Spanish will be setting up, though, quickly here. And we'll be starting in about 20, 25 minutes. We'll be starting our Spanish service. God bless you.